Blog Talk Radio.
Shout!
that we may be in glory as the holy, in glory as the holy, in glory as the holy,
Until I read the serpent on my heart, until I read. Welcome to another edition of The Absolute Truth. This is the Bible study that focuses on the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth concerning the Word of God, while leaving out all personal opinions, speculations, and beliefs. I'm Brother Joshua, and today's filling in for Kevin J. is one of my all-time favorite readers. Y'all haven't heard from him in a while. He's been at ABT almost since day one. This is the one, the only, Jeff Adair. Go ahead, Jeff.
Can y'all hear me?
You loud and clear on my end.
Oh, peace, Brother Johnson. Peace again to all the elders, teachers, and students at ABT. Glad to be back to fill in for Brother Kev, and also it's an honor to be amongst such great teachers on the team. So I'm looking forward to this lesson.
Praise God, Jeff. Praise God. And, of course, you know, as usual, we appreciate you reading for us. You haven't done it in a long time, but we appreciate it. And we look forward to any and all input that you may have. And if you've been keeping up with what's been going on this one, I know you're going to have something to say about it, right? But before we get into this, let me first just say to everybody listening in, welcome. If this is your first time studying with us, we hope you continue to study with us every Sabbath. But to my people on Clubhouse, I always got to lay down on the ground rules for y'all. First and foremost, this is not an open discussion yet. This is our Sabbath study. You're just simply tuning in. What that simply means is if you have a question or a comment about today's class, simply hold it until after the study is over. That's when we do our Q&A. That's when it becomes an open discussion. Once the class is over, y'all know what to do. Raise your hand, and one of my mods will bring you up to the stage where you can ask any question you want, provided you are respectful. And speaking of respect, to all of you in the chat room, try to keep the chatter to a minimum. I know this has been a hot topic all week, so to my mind, expect people to be in the chat room acting ignorant, right? But don't let them get out of hand. If in the chat room, you can't keep the chatter to a minimum, if you're spamming up the chat with scriptures, if you're arguing back and forth with each other, if you're being insulting to each other, whatever, one of my mods will promptly expel you from the room. No questions asked, no warnings given. You're just going to get kicked out. But if you feel like you may have been kicked out unfairly, simply DM one of my mods, not me. I'm going to be teaching, not paying attention to any chat, but simply DM one of my mods in a situation to them. But I'm letting you know, they rarely, if ever, make a mistake in this department. So, with that being said, the title of today's class, which you can see for yourself at the top of the room, is Did the Most High Die on the Cross? That's right, you heard correctly. Today's class is titled, Did the Most High Die on the Cross? And unless you've been living under a rock for the last week or just haven't been communicating with anybody on Clubhouse, you pretty much should have a good idea of why I'm doing this class. Now, just to give y'all a little background, this all started when Brother Zadok debated Corey Brewer on the topic of is Jesus the Most High? I think they did it this past Monday, right? Is Jesus the Most High? And Corey Brewer, who is with the God First Gang, and it's not a shot at him, I'm just telling you who he is, he proclaimed a supreme victory over Zadok in that particular debate, which is his prerogative. If he wants to believe that he won, he can believe that and he can scream it to the heavens for all I care, right? But what he also did in proclaiming his undisputed victory over Zadok is start name-dropping ABT, Absolute Bible Truth, our group, name-dropping me specifically, Brother Josh, name-dropping specifically, Brother Dre, name-dropping specifically, Brother Trilla or Benaiah. You know, he has several names. I call him the Silverback, right? And try to associate his so-called victory with Brother Zadok with a victory over ABT. And he just went on for 3 days uploading rooms and taking shots at me, taking shots at Dre, taking shots at Trilla, all because of a debate he claimed he won over Zadok. Now, Zadok is my big brother. I even consider him an honorary member of ABT, as I'm sure he considers me an honorary member of his camp. But Brother Zadok is not a member of ABT. He has his own ministry. He is a leader over his own ministry, just like I'm a leader over mine. But what Corey Brewer deceitfully tried to do is make it appear that by his proclaimed victory over Zadok, he somehow got a one-up over me, a one-up over Dre, a one-up over Trilla. And even though I came into a room early this week and I explained that to him, which he already knew, like Corey Brewer already knows what Zadok does and what I do, but even though I explained that to him in a room where hundreds of people were attending, he still continued to make it seem like, one, he beat Zadok, and two, by extension, he beat me. He was even calling my name out, Dre's name out, and Trilla's name out during their debate. But I never planned on doing a class on this topic. See, I didn't care who won between them. This was not on my agenda. Everybody knows I've been talking about the Apocrypha and trying to validate that to people for the last 2 weeks. I didn't plan on doing a class about Jesus being the Most High God or did he die or whatever. But what ended up happening is because Corey Brewer kept pushing the narrative of his so-called victory over Zadok and kept name-dropping ABT and opening up rooms, plural, with ABT's name in it, asking, does ABT teach this? ABC teach that? Does ABC teach that the Most High died? I felt compelled to come out and show exactly what we teach. But if that wasn't enough, he started taking shots at ABT without even knowing our full explanation on this. But to top all of that off, I started getting heat from both sides. People who agree with me and support me and people who are, when I say heat, I mean pressure to do a study on this. So this is not really something I was interested in talking about. I was asking them. But for whatever reason, everybody, not the people on my side, but on their side, started hitting me up. And you'll be surprised how many people, I'm not going to drop any names, but you'll be surprised how many people hit me up asking what I think of something. Every other debate Zadok has had, or anybody else who's cool with ABT, nobody hits me up in my back chat asking me, well, what do you think of this? So what that told me is that this is a very hot topic that people are interested in. And like I said, God First Gang opened up a room titled, Does ABT Teach That the Most High Died? Something like that. So I decided to take that title and make it a little bit more specific, and then you will not be able to deny that, yes, not only does ABT teach that the Most High died, we teach that he died on the cross. And y'all know it's only one person that died on the cross as far as who the Bible promotes. And that's Jesus Christ or Yahushua or Yeshua or whatever name you use for him. That guy in the New Testament. Right? Because when we do this class today, there are two things you are not going to be able to deny. One, you're not going to be able to deny that Jesus is the Most High of the Old Testament. And two, you're not going to be able to deny that that Most High died on the cross. You can come up with any scriptures you want, but the scriptures I go to cannot be refuted, cannot be denied. They say exactly what they say. I want to make it very simple. I'm going to walk you through this. If you are too anxious, too hyper to sit here and listen to it, then don't. But don't come back later with a million questions and challenges on things that I covered, because that's what people will do. They'll say they want to know what you believe, and then when you touch on it, they disappear, and then they come back, and they want to argue with you about stuff that you already explained. I'm not doing that. Do not show up at the end wanting me to explain the movie to you. Do not do that. I had a friend a long time ago, every time we could make a plan to go to a movie, this one was about the same neighborhood, and he'd be on the other side of town. I said, hey, plan the movies with this dude, because he would always show up late. And then he want to sit there and ask me what he missed. I'm like, dude, I gave you a heads up on what time the movie start, what time to be. It's always something that delaying him. So after a while, they're like, man, you should have been here. So don't come in here late asking a million questions. At least ask, did y'all cover that? And if I say, yeah, then you need to say, well, I guess I'm going to have to catch it on a replay. Because that's what you're going to do. I'm not going to overwork myself because you want to show up when you want to show up. So without further ado, we're going to get into this, Jeff. First thing we're going to do is we're going to go to Genesis 14. And I think your mic was a little low on my end. Not too low to hear, but I just prefer that it was louder.
Hey, Josh.
Yeah, you're great. You're great. Kevin, you back?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay. What do you want to do, Kev? You want to do it or you want to let Jeff do it for you today? What you got?
Oh, it's good. I'm good now.
Okay.
Yeah, you got it. But thanks for the invite, Josh. I appreciate you.
No doubt. But stay on the stage, though, Jeff. Stay on the stage, though. Kev, can you turn your mic up a little bit? Can you see how loud Jeff is? Say what? It's not as loud as Jeff was. I mean, but if everybody else can hear you, I just have to deal with that. Not on my end, it ain't as loud as it can be. Sometimes you seem like you come through real loud.
So I might need to come back out.
Yeah, we'll be back out and come back in. Let me take care of something right quick. Ariel, just deal with him for a second. Let me take care of something.
All right, peace and blessings, Absolute Bible Truth family, and all those attending, welcome to the Absolute Bible Truth Room on Clubhouse. We appreciate all of you guys in attendance. First, before we get into this, let me shout out my mom, shout out to Sister Nautica, Mama Steph, Sister Judith, Keanu, Brother Jeff, Trilla, a.k.a. Benny Hand Jacket out here, Trey, Peter, Kevin J. Pretty much under the rock when it comes to what's going on right now, because if you all don't know, your boy was out of the country, so I guess there was a lot of drama going on when I was OT. Back, and I'm ready to listen to today's lesson because I want to know what actually happened. But before we do that, I just wanted to say, if you are new to the room, please scroll up to the top. Hit that Absolute Bible Truth title and join the club. We have rivals every Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As we continue to grow as a church, we would like you guys to grow with us. If you like the information you are hearing, make sure you guys follow us so that as we grow, you grow as well. So thank you for coming in. Oh, yeah, lastly, we got 24 shares. If y'all can do us a favor, let's get to 50 shares. It's 77 people in the room. You can share the room up to 3 times. Share the room. Let the people know that this is the place to be right now on Clubhouse. So without further ado, Brother Josh, it's back to you if you are so.
Yeah, I put the thumbs up icon. Let me hear you now, Kevin. Let me hear what you sound. I want you to sound as loud as Ariel and Jeff sound on my end.
Is that any better?
Yeah, that's better. That's better for me. Okay, we're finna get off into this, y'all. Sorry for the delay. I was trying to tweak my sound a little bit, see if it was on my end. That's why I left and came back. Okay, we're going to start this off first in Genesis 14. Because ever since this has been going on between Zadok and Corey, people want to indirectly involve us. And I don't have a problem with anybody asking us what we see on this. But you're not going to use something between you and Zadok to try to get one over on ABT. It doesn't work like that. And I'm going to show you, since you want to know, that yes, Jesus is the Most High God. And yes, he died on the cross. You're not going to be able to deny this. We dealt with this last night. But we're going to break this down so methodically, so simply, that if you don't see it, it's only one or two reasons. Either you don't want to see it, or you just too dumb to see it. Because that's how simple it is. You don't want to see it, or you're too dumb to see it. I'm sorry. Some people just cannot keep up. That's a fact, right? And this is an advanced topic. So we're going to go to Genesis 14. This is when Abraham met Melchizedek, and this is the first time the title Most High appears in the King James Version Bible. This is Genesis 14, and we're going to read verses 18 to 19. Genesis 14, 18 to 19. When you get there, Kevin J., read, please.
And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God.
And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine to Abraham and his troops, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Read that verse, please.
19. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth.
Now look what it said. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram, who later became Abraham, of the Most High God. See, this is the part of the title that they leave out, Kevin J. Possessor of heaven and earth. See, when they dealt with that topic, nobody dealt with possessor of heaven and earth part. Most High is a title. It's a description. But possessor of heaven and earth is. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to the Strongest Office Concordance. And we're going to look up the word translated possessor there, and then we're going to read this verse in other translations to give you an understanding of where I'm going with it, right? So we're going to go to 70, 69 in the Hebrew section of the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. 7069. You can also see this in the Blue Letter Bible, so we can understand what it means when it says possessor of heaven and earth. 7069 in the Hebrew section of the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, or the Blue Letter Bible. And the word is kana. Kana. And it says a primitive root to erect that is create. Notice that the first two definitions it gave was to erect, like you're erecting a structure, like a building. And it says that is, telling you what it means, to create. So what this is saying is, blessed be Abraham of the Most High, creator of heaven and earth. Let's read the rest of these definitions. It says, by extension, to procure, that means to obtain something or to own something, especially by purchase, causatively felt by implication, to own, attain, buy, buyer, teach to keep cattle, get, provoke to jealousy, possess or possessor, purchase, recover, redeem, surely, verily. But the first two definitions it gave was to erect and to create. So what we're going to do is we're going to read this same verse in other translations. This is Genesis 14 and 19 in the New International Version, or NIV. And look what it says. And he blessed Abram, Melchizedek blessed Abram, saying, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. So why am I showing y'all this? Because I'm trying to show you that whoever the Most High is, he is described as the creator of heaven and earth. Have I lost anybody yet on stage? Have I lost anybody yet? Are we good? Kevin, we good? Yep, we good. I'm walking this real slow now. Cause I know my people can follow it. Okay, I just want to make sure. Okay, this is the New Living Translation. Melchizedek blessed Abram with this blessing. Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. That's what that word kana means. That's why the other translations say creator. Right? Because it says it means to create. It also means to, like, if you create something, you own it. So that's why it can also be translated possessor. Right? But let me tell you how to read in one more translation. This is the ERV, also known as the Easy to Read Version. This is Genesis 14 and 19. Look what it says. He blessed Abram and said, Abram, may you be blessed by God Most High, the one who made heaven and earth. So we can clearly see that the God that Abram or Abraham worshiped was the Most High who created the heaven and the earth. Now let's see where we first read that. Let's go to Genesis 1 and 1. Genesis 1 and 1. And you know, the sad thing about this, Kevin J., a lot of people, when they tackle this topic or hear somebody else talking about it, they can't even be quiet long enough to hear you give your view.
Yep.
They can't shut up. When you come in other people's rooms and people are on the stage, nobody is there to hear you unless you get on the stage. But people will come in your chat room after taking one look at the title, and then they want to lunch off into a lesson. Y'all see anybody doing that? Kick them out. And I'm giving that as a warning for everybody in the chat room who's listening, just in case you've been doing it and you didn't know it wasn't cool. My mom, don't play with these people. Y'all see them do it? Kick them out. If y'all ain't kicking them out, y'all ain't doing y'all job. Don't let anybody come in this room and start telling you what they think in your room. Because it's y'all room too. If you're going to come over here during the class time, you listen first. Then you can tell us what you think when it's time to do that. But don't come in the room, as soon as you walk through the doors, you got something to say. That's not how we do things over here. That may be how they do it in other rooms you go in, not over here. So if y'all see them get doing that, kick them out. Right? But we see now what it said in Genesis 14 and 19. Now we're in Genesis 1 and 1. When you get there, Kevin J., read, please.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
But we read later in Genesis 14 and 19 that the Most High God created the heaven and the earth. So we're going to use our common sense and just say, well, that means this God right here in Genesis 1 and 1 is the Most High God. Do everybody agree with that on stage? Do everybody agree with that?
Yes, that ain't hard.
That's not hard. Genesis 1 and 1. That's the same God who Abraham referred to as the Most High. That's the same God. He's the Most High God. In the chat room, if you can see that or if you agree with that, type 1 in the chat. This is simple. Because people want to play games and act like they don't understand that this is the same God that Abraham and Melchizedek worshiped, the one in Genesis 1 and 1, even though they know that and they believe that. But when we start breaking this stuff down, they want to pretend like they forgot. We ain't going to let you do that up in here. So this is the Most High God. Okay, fine. No problem. And it said he created the heaven and the earth. So if you believe in the pre-existence of Jesus, and we read that in his pre-existence, he's the one who did it, that makes him the Most High. Game, set, and match. It's not hard. You cannot tell me you believe in the pre-existence of Jesus. In other words, he existed before he was born as a man. He existed with the Father in eternity. You can't tell me you believe that, and then it plainly tells you that he is the one who created everything, but he's not the Most High, even though it says the Most High created everything. What kind of sense does that make? But we're going to look at that now, and we're going to walk this down. Some of these verses y'all have seen before. Some of them you haven't, and some of them you have, but didn't hear the way I broke it down. So now we're going to go to John 1. See, the real problem is you got too much ego and pride on this app. Nobody want to admit that they were taught wrong. Nobody wants to go back to the drawing board. People are lazy. I don't want to have to learn something new. I don't want to have to admit that I didn't know. People don't want to do that. A lot of times when you're debating people, you're debating their pride, not their doctrine. That's what you're fighting against, their pride. But this is John 1 in the New Testament, and we're going to read 1 to 15 because we're going to walk this all the way down. John 1. Don't come here telling us what you think. If I wanted to hear what you thought, I'd be in your room, in your audience. If you're in here doing the teaching portion, we assume you're here to listen and to learn what we think, what we believe. During the Q&A, then we'll hear what you think. But when you come in here during the Sabbath study time, understand that you are telling us when you hit our audience, I'm here to listen and learn. We're not saying you can't say absolutely anything in the chat, but my goodness, don't try to turn this into your own little lesson within the lesson in our chat. That ain't going to happen. So this is John 1, 1 through 15, and we're going to see what it says about Jesus. Go ahead and read, Kevin J.
This is John 1 and 1. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
And can y'all believe that a lot of people can't comprehend what this is saying?
This is tough for some people right here.
This is tough. People trip over this. But it says, in the beginning was the Word. And this is capitalized because this is a title. This is not talking about actual spoken word that comes out of somebody's mouth. This is a title. So it says, in the beginning was the Word. This is a who, not a what. Who is this word? Not what is this word. This is a who that you're reading about. I'm getting real basic with him, Kevin. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Whoever this Word was with God in the beginning. Then it says, and the Word was God. So you have this person called the Word, who in the beginning was with God, but he also was God himself. But you can clearly see this is talking about more than one person, just because I got a Unitarian listening. You can't be with someone else and say you by yourself. That's common sense. So in the beginning was the Word, this is the who, and this who was with God, and this who was God. And we're going to see who this who was. Keep reading, Kevin J.
2. The same was in the beginning with God.
The same who was in the beginning with God. The same Word. And this is the same beginning that you're reading about in Genesis 1 and 1. Because it's going to talk about the creation. Continue, please.
3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
Now, there are two individuals spoken of in verse 1. So what we're trying to figure out is, who is John saying made all things and made all things for himself? Because that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Is this referring to the Word, or is this referring to God? We're going to see, because it's giving the credit of the creation to one of these individuals. That's what it's doing. Continue, please.
4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men.
So whoever this him is referring to is telling you in verse 4, in him, the same him, who made all things, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Continue.
5. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
Continue.
6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John.
And this is talking about John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer, or John the Immerser, whatever translation you're reading, not to be confused with the John whose gospel we're reading. So it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Continue.
That the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe.
The same came for a witness, John the Baptist came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. That light is that same him you've been reading about that created all things, right? That all men through him, through that light, that him that created all things, might believe. Continue.
8. He was not that light, was sent to bear witness of that light.
John the Baptist was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. And that light, the same him that you read about in verse 3 and on down. We're still trying to figure out, is that him referring to the Word, or is that him referring to God? But remember, the Word is God as well. So you got God with God. We're trying to figure out which one is this referring to, who created all things and is called the light. But continue, please.
9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
And that's getting off into another lesson. Remember that divine spark class I did, Kevin J?
Yes, sir.
That was the true light, still referring to that hymn, lighteth every man that cometh into the world, which is born into the world. Continue, though.
10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not.
So it's repeating what you read in 3. So whoever this him is, it says he was in the world, and the world was made by him. We just read in Genesis 1 and 1 and in Genesis 14, 18, and 19 that the Most High God made the world, y'all. Come on. Don't act like you don't forgot what you read already. And John, the person who wrote this gospel, was a Hebrew. So he was familiar with what Genesis said. And yet he still wrote this.
Right.
He knew what he was saying. Right? So it says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So whichever one of these two that you're reading about in verse 1, the Word, or God, is saying they created the world, came in the world, it was made by him, but the world didn't know him. We're still trying to figure out which of these two we're talking about. Continue.
And then he came unto his own. His own received him not.
So it's telling you, and if you're really paying attention to this, you can tell that John is kind of speaking in riddles a little bit. He's not just being direct. He could have just said it. But this is his style of writing. But you can see who he's talking about. It says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Meaning he came to his own people when he was in the world, and they rejected him. Y'all know that's Jesus. Come on, y'all. But we're going to let it tell you that itself. Continue, please.
12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
But as many as received him, not the ones that rejected him, but the ones that received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We know all throughout the New Testament it says you have to believe on the name of Jesus or Yahweh, Shai, or Yeshua. Name just means authority anyway. But this is Jesus. So it tells you Jesus is the one that did all of this stuff. He is the one that made all things. All things were made by him and for him. Right? But keep reading.
13. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Mm-hmm. Continue.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth.
Now, this is a very pivotal verse that goes over a lot of people's heads. It says, and the Word was made flesh. Flesh here means human, mortal. And the Word was made flesh. But if you go back to John 1 and 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So what this is saying is, if the Word was God, this is saying God was made flesh. This is not hard. It tells you what everything is in the beginning of this chapter. And then it tells you what everything did. And yes, you got people act like they can't see it. If I read this and it says, the Word was a dog. And then I read later where it says, and the dog was made a human, the Word was made a human. That means it was a dog at first, and then it became a human.
Yep.
So this is saying this Word was God with God. But the Word God, this is the easy way for y'all to not get confused. You could just say, when you're reading John 1 and 1, you got God and you got God Word or Word God. But both of them are God. It doesn't even say in the beginning was the Father and the Son. It just says God with God. That's what that is saying. And Jesus got the title of the Word because he was a living, breathing Torah, Tanakh, scriptures. Y'all know how y'all go on Facebook and y'all see these little memes that say if pissed off was a person, and that's a picture of a person looking crazy?
Yeah.
If Jesus was alive today, there would be a meme about him that says, if Torah or Tanakh or Old Testament or obedience to God's law was a word or was a person. So this is saying the word was made human and dwelt among us, talking about the Israelites of that time. And we, this is John talking from their perspective, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And read verse 15 and just really nail down that this is talking about Jesus. Go ahead.
John bear witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.
It says, John bear witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. Y'all know that John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus. Y'all know that. So all this stuff is saying that Jesus was God and he created everything.
Yep.
But we just read in Genesis that the Most High did that. Why should we even have to go any further? Either John is lying or wrong, or Jesus is the Most High. And see, this is what people do. They will tell you that the Most High created the heaven and the earth. But somehow, they can also see that the New Testament says that Jesus did that. That's A, that's B. But they don't come to the conclusion that Jesus is the Most High. I'm still confused. How do you do that? It will be like a woman saying to me, this man right here is my husband. And I have children by my husband. Yet these children are not his. How does that work? Wouldn't that confuse you, Gavin, say, if a woman said that?
Absolutely.
This man is my husband. And I have children by my husband. Not my ex-husband. Don't try to play them stupid games with me. And she only got one husband. So this man is my husband. And I have children by my husband. But these children are not his. That's impossible. If this man is her husband, if she has children by her husband, then whatever children you're looking at that belong to her comes from that man. That's simple. But that's before you get into the Bible. See, everything makes sense until people start diving into the Bible. Now, logic just gets thrown out the window because people think the Bible is some kind of magic book where you get to just suspend all logic. That's how people approach the Bible. People don't approach this in real life. People don't problem solve like this in real life. But when it comes to the Bible, all their problem solving skills just get thrown out the window. We don't got to apply logic anymore. It's just whatever we want it to be. If it says that Jesus created all things, that means everything in heaven, everything in earth, or the heaven and the earth. If it says that, then that means it includes the heaven and the earth, y'all. But it says the Most High did that. So Jesus is the Most High. We're going to prove that more and more, but we're going to prove that he died on, the Most High died on the cross, and he knew he was going to die on the cross in the Old Testament. He knew it. I'm not talking about in the New Testament where Jesus walking around saying, you know, they're going to kill the Son of Man. No, we're talking about in the Old Testament. I'm going to show you that the Most High knew this was going to happen to him. It was prophesied. How y'all don't see it? Because people like Corey Brewer don't want to admit that maybe I got something wrong. That pride gets in the way. That's what happens. You got a lot of pride and arrogant people on this app, men and women. And the women are getting worse. I used to say when I first got on this app, man, women don't really be doing much, man. It be the men. They be tripping. All the women making a strong comeback. Now even the women getting arrogant with this. So you got to let your pride get out of the way and just be honest about what you're reading. The Most High created the heaven and the earth. The New Testament said Jesus did that. Jesus is the Most High. There's no other conclusion you can come to make it make sense. But let's continue. Now that we know that, let's go to Acts chapter 9. I want to clear some other stuff up. Y'all going to learn some more stuff about this. People be playing games. Check your pride at the door. It says what it says. Look, still got people in the chat. Come right in. Is Jesus the Most High? Look at the title of the room, y'all. If the title of the room has a question mark, then wouldn't that imply more than any other title without a question mark that I got to wait and see? That's like if you go to a movie that has a question mark in the title, right? Like, was Martin Luther King's death, was his assassination ordered by the government? Like, that's the name of a documentary that you're going to the movie to see, right? That's a question mark, right? What kind of idiot would walk into the movie theater, sit down while it's still showing previews and trailers to other movies, and be like, was Martin Luther King's death ordered by the government? That's what you're going to find out, fool! You got people who will come in the room, see the title of the room, and then ask a question pertaining to the title. What do you think we're in here trying to show? If I wanted to just come out and say he was the Most High, I would put that in the title. Don't you think, Kevin J., if I just wanted to come out and just say that? I'd rather prove it. But again, that's that anxiousness I'll be telling y'all about, where people too hyper. Soon as they come in, y'all, any of y'all own any pets, any dogs, anybody on stage, y'all own any dogs or anything?
I used to.
You ever came home and your dog be so happy to see you, jumping all over you, like, hey, man, hey, Kevin, what you been doing? That's how guys act when they come in this room, so hyper. Calm down. We're gonna get there. Jeez. I know this is a hot topic. I get it, but geez, calm down. You know what I'm saying? Some of y'all need to borrow y'all children Ritalin. You know what I'm saying? Get a prescription or something. But this is Isaiah chapter 9. Why am I even pointing out behavior? Because behavior is 50% of why we can't ever understand each other.
Yep.
That's 50% of it right there. It's not even the doctrine. It's our conduct.
Yep, no resolution.
We can't reach a resolution. We too busy making fun of each other, cursing each other out. That's a 50% deduction that we're dealing with to try to get some understanding. That's why people just need to just chill. You already know what you believe. We know you believe what you believe, but you don't know what we believe. So just calm down. Man, some of y'all, boy, woo, boy. It scared me to think that they some parents too, Kevin J. Some of these people, they got children. If y'all this bad, I only want to see your kids. And that's on God. I only want to see your kids. Because the parents act like this, the children got to be out of control. But this is Isaiah chapter 9. Y'all are familiar with this prophecy. We're going to read verse 6 to 7, but I'm going to give y'all some understanding on some more stuff. Go ahead and read.
This is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father.
Now, wait a minute. It said, for unto us a child is born, the us meaning the Israelites, right? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, meaning he's going to rule. And not just in Israel, the whole world. Other prophets will tell you that. Right? And it says, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Let's deal with this. His name shall be called the Mighty God first. We're going to deal with the Everlasting Father part two. Don't worry about that, y'all. But it says his name shall be called the Mighty God. Now, before Isaiah wrote this, only the Most High was referred to as the Mighty God. If you don't believe me, somebody post a scripture in the chat where Israel referred to any god other than their own as the mighty God. So Isaiah wrote this. He knew that whatever god he worshiped, which is the God of Israel, would be born as a man one day. And to prove that to y'all, go right over to the very next chapter, Kevin J., and we're going to read about a prophecy concerning what the Israelites would do once Assyria was destroyed. Go right over to chapter 10, and what I want you to do is read verses 20 and 21, and watch what it says. Go ahead and read.
This is Isaiah chapter 10, verses 20. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel, and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob, shall no more again stay upon him that spoke them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel.
And the one that smote him is come out the Assyrian army. Because remember, the northern kingdom was taken in captivity by the Assyrians. In 722, some scholars say 721 BCE, right? So it's come out what the ones who escape the Assyrians are going to do once Assyria is destroyed. Now read verse 21 and watch what it says.
21, the remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob and the mighty God.
Read that again.
I'm like, even the remnant of Jacob unto the mighty God.
Unto the mighty God. Wait a minute. One chapter earlier, he just said that this son that was going to be born would be called the mighty God.
Yep.
Then he tells you a chapter later that after the Assyrian Empire is destroyed, every Israelite that was that escaped from the Assyrians was going to return to the mighty God. Was Isaiah confused? Isaiah is going to tell you in one chapter that a son's going to be born and he's going to be called the mighty God, and then tell you in the next that they're going to return to the mighty God. And before this, only the God of Israel was referred to as the mighty God by the Israelites. So did Isaiah not know this? This is Old Testament telling you that a man is going to be born who's going to be God. This is Old Testament. The Most High created everything. But the New Testament tells you that Jesus was God and he created everything. But people in general, is Jesus the Most High? What do you think? What is your Bible telling you? It's like when Jesus was sitting at the Last Supper or the Passover with his disciples. And they asked, who's going to betray you? Jesus said, whoever I dip the sock in, give it to, that's who it is. He did that and gave it to Judas. All the disciples got to walk around. Who's he talking about? I wonder who he means. See, sometimes people don't be just that direct because they don't think you're stupid. Like if I came home one day and I say, man, somebody stole my wallet. I'm telling that to all my children. Who do you think stole the $50, Dad? Whoever I slapped the out of, that's who I think stole it. And then I slapped my oldest son. But y'all gonna walk away. I guess your daughter did it. you see what I'm saying? That's stupid.
Right.
You can't talk to somebody like that. That's how the Bible does sometimes. It asks you a question, and instead of just giving you a name, it's just like, whoever I say this to, or whoever I give this to, or whoever did that, or whoever will do this. That's the answer to the question. Then you wait and see. Oh, that's what we were talking about. So if you ask me, is Jesus the Most High, whoever the Bible says created the heaven and the earth? Does the Bible say Jesus created the heaven and the earth? Yeah, then that's the Most High. No, he ain't. We done. I can't talk to you. See, that's stupid right there. Whoever stole my wallet, I'm going to slap the out of them. I come home, slap my oldest son. Then I ask you again, who stole my wallet? I guess your youngest daughter did. What? Get out of here. You stupid. But you wouldn't do that in real life, would you, Kevin J? You'll apply that logic. That's what you'll do. But when it comes in the Bible, don't nobody want to deal with logic. Something is wrong with y'all. I keep trying to tell people that this Bible, or better yet, the teacher of the Bible, who y'all are learning from, they got y'all mentally messed up. Y'all are mental patients. Anytime you got to suspend common sense, I'm not saying disbelief, because you got suspension of disbelief. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying common sense. Anytime you got to suspend common sense to teach a doctrine, we done. You done talking to Josh. Go find somebody else to talk to. Because I'm just going to think you're stupid. And I will call you stupid. Because you are stupid. If you don't have common sense, that's the very definition of stupid. Somebody who lacks common sense or common knowledge. And I'm tired of stupid people who are stupid on purpose. And that's the sad thing about it, Kevin J. They're stupid on purpose. They ain't even got to be. They choosing to be stupid. We see that it said they were going to return to the mighty God. Isaiah know what he just said. He know he just told you that the mighty God would be born as a man. But look what else he said. He said he would be called the everlasting father. Everlasting also means eternal. But wait a minute, Josh. Is this saying that Jesus is the father? No. The word father used here is not used in the same sense as it's used for the father in the New Testament. That's a mistake that people make. And I'm going to show you what it means here. First of all, you have to understand that Jesus is never once referred to as the Father in the New Testament. Anybody show me one time where Jesus is referred to as the Father? I'll wait. No, you can't. So what was Isaiah talking about here? This would make part of this a false prophecy, because Jesus was never called the everlasting Father. Unless when Isaiah wrote this, the word father had a different application than how Jesus used it when he was teaching us about the Father. And I'm going to show you that the Israelites just simply used the word father to just mean God or creator. So what this verse is saying is that he will be called the everlasting creator, which makes sense because it said he created everything. But let me prove that to y'all. I'm not just going to tell y'all that. I'm going to prove that to y'all. Still in Isaiah. Notice I'm in the same book. I'm in the author. Show you how he used this so y'all can understand. Because he said, everlasting father, right? Watch it. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 63. Jesus was never called the father in the New Testament, but he was called the creator. You got to understand that the Israelites used father in a different sense that Jesus used. When Jesus was saying father, he was doing that to try to illustrate an intimate relationship believers are supposed to have with the Father. That's why he's called the Son, which would make him our brother. That's why already I would say our big brother, Jesus Christ. And did you notice that in John chapter 1 and 15, that John the Baptist said Jesus was before him. Go back and read verse 15. But when Jesus was born as a man, he was born 6 months after John the Baptist. So how could John the Baptist say he is before me? See, these are things you got to catch, and you cannot ignore it once you see it. People don't deal with nothing you show them. Somebody come on and say it right now, I show them all these verses. Yeah, but let's go. No, no, what do you mean, yeah, but let's go here? No, I need you to tell me what you're getting out of this. That's how people battle with the Bible. I show a verse, you ignore it, then you show a verse, and I ignore it. And we call that a debate. That ain't a debate. That's two idiots arguing. A debate would be I show you a verse, and you either affirm that I broke that verse down correctly, or you deny that I did, and you show why. You don't just ignore it like, okay, well, let's go here. That's how people debate. And y'all call that a debate. That's not a debate. There's two idiots arguing in the barbershop. Y'all don't been to the barbershop before, brothers. Some of y'all sisters take y'all sons there. Guys get to arguing about who going to win the playoffs and everything. Like they're just expert sports analysts or something. They be getting mad, cursing everything. Then come back the next day after the team they said we're going to win, lose with all kinds of excuses. Man, the ref was tripping. Get out of here, man. That's what a lot of these people on Clubhouse sound like to me, a bunch of idiots arguing in the barbershop. Because ain't nobody listening to anybody. Right? This is Isaiah 63. Let's see what this father concept is dealing with. Isaiah 63, one verse, verse 16. Read that, please.
This is Isaiah 63, verses 16. And it reads, doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, art our father, our redeemer. The name is from everlasting.
Thy name is from where? Can I say? Didn't it say he shall be called the everlasting father? But notice when we talk that we continue Isaiah, all of the titles and significance that Isaiah put on this son that will be born, he says the same thing currently about the Most High. Did y'all notice that? Did anybody catch that? We saw the Almighty part when we went to the very next chapter in chapter 10. Now we're seeing the everlasting part in chapter 63. Now anybody you're talking to, from Corey Brewer's perspective, they will tell you that, yo, in Isaiah 63 and verse 17, that's talking about the Most High. If you take them to Isaiah chapter 10, where it said they shall return to the Almighty God, they're going to say that's talking about the Most High. But those same two titles were given to the child that would be born. But not the title of Most High. Can't have that, right? Even though it says the Most High created the heaven and the earth, and it tells you in John that Jesus created that. People are not being honest, y'all. People are not being honest. But my point in taking y'all here, when it said, you are our father, it meant you are our creator. The Old Testament Hebrews did not refer to God as their father on an individual basis like that. That was unknown at the time. The only person that ever did that was like David in the book of Psalms, and he was doing it poetically. But no Israelite was walking around saying, my father. They always said our, because collectively they saw God as their father in the sense of giving them life and protecting them, something an actual father does. So when it said that Jesus would be called the everlasting father, it just meant eternal creator. But I'm going to prove that to y'all. Still in Isaiah, let me give you the creation part. I want to give you the everlasting part. Let me give you the creation part. Still in Isaiah, go right over to chapter 64.
Next chapter,
right? See, notice when I break stuff down to y'all, I let the author of the same book tell you. If anybody knows what he's talking about, it's the person who wrote the book. I let the author of the, when you're breaking scriptures down to people, the first thing you want to do, if it's possible, if the author of the book you're reading out of elaborates more on it in that same book. If he doesn't, then you start jumping around to see if you can find another author who may be able to explain it. I've already shown you that Isaiah gave you Almighty God for the Son, gave you everlasting Father for the Son that would be born. And now I'm going to give you the part that it refers to as a creator, Isaiah 64 and verse 8. When you get there, read, please.
It's Isaiah 64 and verse 8. But now, O Lord, are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand.
You see how Isaiah explained now what he meant when he said, you are our father? Mm-hmm. That simply means you created us. That's why he said, you are our father. Now he's going to explain, why do we call you father? What do we mean when we say that? We are the clay, and thou art the potter. Y'all know how people be making vase on the potter's wheel, right? It says, and thou art the potter, and we are all the work of thine hand. So when Isaiah 9 says he will be called the everlasting father, it did not mean in the same sense that Jesus was talking about when he said, our father which art in heaven. All it meant is that a son would be born who would be called Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Creator, the Mighty God. And we can show you all of that about Jesus in the New Testament. Will he called Wonderful and Counselor? Yes. Will he called the Creator? Yes. So all of this stuff, though, when we keep reading the Isaiah's rest of his writing, he's applying all of these titles that he applied to this son that would be born to the Most High. Now, you cannot go through Isaiah, read Isaiah 63 and 16 and say, oh, that's the Most High. Then read Isaiah 64 and 8 and say, oh, that's the Most High. And then read Isaiah 10, 20 to 21 and say, oh, that's the Most High. But all of these titles are applied to the son who will be born, but say the son ain't the Most High. How does that work, Kevin J? How? What kind of logic is that? And then you go to the New Testament. After reading in the Old Testament that the Most High created the heaven and the earth, you go to the New Testament and it tells you that Jesus did that. And you still saying he ain't the Most High. How does this work? What type of double Dutch doctrine are they teaching us? Y'all know what I mean when I say double Dutch? Y'all sisters who to be playing double Dutch and a couple of brothers did it too? You know how you jump in and you skip around for a minute, then you jump out. That's how they are with this particular topic. That's how it was when Big Brother Zadok was debating Corey Brewer. That's how it was when we was on Friday Night Frankincense last night. When it comes to this Most High topic and Jesus being the Most High, they want to play double Dutch. They want to jump in and acknowledge, oh, this is right here. This is definitely Jesus in the Old Testament. And this is definitely talking about God. But then when you want to get to the Most High part, they want to jump out of the jump rope. They want to jump out. No. This ain't no double Dutch doctrine. We're following it all the way to its logical conclusion. Whoever the Most High is created everything, period. So if I go to the New Testament and it says Jesus, that Jesus is the Most High, this shouldn't even be a discussion. This shouldn't even be a topic of teaching. It shouldn't be. And like I said last night on Friday Night Frankincense, if you can't accept that, you just need to abandon entirely the doctrine of Jesus' preexistence. Just abandon it. Or say he preexisted, but he had nothing to do with what went on with God in the Old Testament. But you can't do that because there's too many scriptures, as I'm showing y'all. So Isaiah was telling you, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father, which means Creator in the Old Testament. That's how they used it. The Mighty God. And when you jump outside of Isaiah 9, all of those titles apply to the Most High. All of them. Is the Most, you ask anybody, Kevin J, is the Most High, was he the Father of Israel? Is he the Father of Israel? Yeah. Is he the Mighty God? Yeah. Is he Wonderful? Yeah. Is he their counselor? You know, like he tries to guide them? Yeah. Is he everlasting? Yeah. Okay. So how come when I read all of this about this child that's going to be born, he's all of that but the Most High?
All right.
And then when you keep on reading, Isaiah applies this same stuff to the Most High. My point is the prophets knew that the Most High was going to come as a man one day. And therefore die. And that's what Corey Brewer doesn't understand. That's what a lot of y'all don't understand. This is what I'm trying to show y'all. They knew that he was going to come and die on the cross one day. That's why when they opened up that God First Game Room title, does ABT teach that the Most High died? I didn't have a problem with that title. I just wanted them to specify. Does ABT teach that the Most High died on the cross? Because when somebody says, does ABT teach that the Most High died, that could mean sometime during the Old Testament, after God led the children of Israel out of Egypt, he just croaked, just laid over and fell off his throne in heaven. You follow what I'm saying? See, when people do that, when people intentionally make titles vague, they do that to confuse your position. Even the guy who came in the room, Trenton, is Jesus the Most High? Look at the title. The title is, did the Most High die on the cross? The question you should have been asked, does ABT teach that the Most High died on the cross? We know Jesus died on the cross, so are they saying that Jesus is that Most High? See, that's the type of question you're supposed to be asking based on the title. That's what you do. And I'm going to show you that. I'm just showing you that all of the prophets knew that we were going to get a flesh and blood son who was going to grow up and basically become God again. John just let us know that he was God in the beginning. That's why I'm showing you this. So far I'm showing you that we got a child, a boy, who's going to be born and going to have every title that the Most High in the Old Testament had on him. And none of y'all can see Jesus there. They partially see it, but for whatever reason, that Most High, that title Most High, tripping them up. But let me show you something else. Let's go to Malachi chapter 2. Just to show you that father, that term father, used by the Old Testament writers. When they were using it to refer to God, they just meant creator. It's not used in the same way that Jesus used the word father. You can never read where Jesus is called the father in the New Testament. But you can read where he's called the creator. And that's what Isaiah was saying. He shall be called the creator. And we saw that fulfilled in John 1, chapter 1. No, just John chapter 1. That was the fulfillment of that. You can also read about that in Colossians. In Hebrews, his name shall be called the everlasting creator. It says that Jesus got eternal life, and he can give it to us. And then it says he created everything. This is the prophecy. But Isaiah, for whatever reason, gave every title to this son that was previously being given to the Most High, and even after giving the prophecy, continued to give those same titles to the Most High. So y'all trying to tell me Isaiah didn't know what he was talking about? You know more than Isaiah, a real bona fide prophet? He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was saying. He knew what the Holy Spirit inspired him to speak. But they want to come on here and question us. No, question Isaiah. Ask yourself, why did Isaiah say that a mortal man would be called the mighty God? Everlasting, eternal creator. You know, that's that Greek mythology. That's pagan. That's what, you know, the Tanakh only Hebrews try to say. No, yo, Tanakh said a mortal man will be born who will be called the mighty God and the everlasting, which means eternal creator. All of those titles apply to the Most High in the Old Testament, and y'all know it.
Ooh, amen.
Don't even play games with me. But this right here is Malachi, last book in the Old Testament. They want to know what we taught so bad. Now I'm giving it to you. And for all of y'all who just wanted to know so you can try to take a shot at it, I say to you, choke on it. Because that's all you're going to do anyway. When I say choke on it, that's a reference to what Jesus said, that the seed that fell on the stony ground, it was choked. Because if you just want it just to try to attack it, choke on it, because that's what it's going to do to you anyway. This is Malachi 2, verse 10. This is God rebuking his priests and, by extension, Israel. Go ahead and read.
Malachi 2 and verses 10. Have we not all one Father? Have not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our father?
Again, you see father for God in the Old Testament being associated with creation or creator. That's how they used it. It's not used in the same sense in the New Testament. That's what Unitarians would do. See, he's going to be called the Son and the Father. So the Son and the Father is the same person. No, they're not. Fool. You can see visions of the Son sitting on the right hand of the Father in the New Testament. So you know good and well they're two different individuals. And Jesus was never called the Father in the New Testament. That would make Isaiah a false prophet because Jesus was never called the Father. But Jesus was called the Creator. You have to understand during the time of ancient Israel when they used the word Father, they meant like the Father of them as a collective nation. And as their creator. That's why when you read Isaiah 64:8 and Malachi 2 and 10, they immediately applied creation after they used that term. Have we not all one Father, do not one God create us in Isaiah 64 and 8? You are our Father. You are the potter. We are the clay. We are the work of your hands. In other words, you created us. They're telling you what they mean when they say Father. So when it says this Son will be called the everlasting Father, it just meant the eternal creator, which I can surely, surely prove to you that that was said about Jesus multiple times in the New Testament. But all throughout the Old Testament, the Most High was called the eternal creator. He was called Wonderful Counselor. He was called the Mighty God. Before you get to Isaiah, the only person that the Israelites ever called the Mighty God was the Most High. And then after he tells you in prophecy that this Son would be called the Mighty God, he just goes with business as usual and says that the children of Israel are going to return to the Mighty God. Now, anybody who's reading Isaiah's writing will have to say, well, that must be the same guy we've been reading about the whole time then. So I'm showing you that the prophets are telling you that the Most High would be born as a man. That's what Isaiah is telling you. Now, all we got to do is read where this man is going to die. And the Most High says it's going to be him. And that's game, set, and match on anybody who ever doubts that the Most High died on the cross as Jesus. That's James said in that. I don't want to talk about it anymore if you're not going to deal with these verses. Big Brother Zadok smoked Corey. I don't care what anybody says. He smoked him. Because people want to play double dutch with this. They want Jesus to be the pre-existent God of the Old Testament over here. But whenever the term Most High is used, for the same God in the Old Testament, they don't want that to be Jesus. So when Abraham and Melchizedek refer to God as the Most High, that's not the same Most High who the children of Israel served? Of course it is, Josh. But Jesus is said to have created everything. And it says the Most High created everything. Well, the New Testament says the Most High, you know, the Father created all things through Jesus. Yeah, but Jesus still did the actual work. And he's called God. You know, like Lord Megatron. Shout out to Lord Megatron. He keep giving the same old analogy. You know, Solomon did not build a temple. His servants did. Right? But his servants were never called Solomon. See, that's the difference. See, if you just said God created the world through Jesus, and Jesus was never called God in the Old or the New Testament, yeah, like I keep repeating myself, Corey won that debate against Zadok. But your analogy is false because you cannot use the I stand for the decree, but I don't actual work analogy, because it says Solomon built the temple because he gave forth the decree to do it, just like the Father gave forth the decree for the Son to create everything. But the difference is the people who built the temple were never called Solomon. But Jesus was called God. Because it's letting you know that when he was given the decree to create everything, he carried out that decree as the Most High God. That's the part y'all don't want to deal with. So your little Solomon analogy, while it has a point, is not entirely accurate. Again, but let's move on. Let's go to Jeremiah 23. We don't see the titles given to this Son, right? He's called the everlasting eternal creator. He's called the mighty God. He's called wonderful. He's called counselor. All of these are multi-titles. Let's see that it even tells you he's going to have the actual name of the Most High. How about that, Kevin J? The actual name.
And it still won't do it for some people.
And it still won't do it for some people. Get out of here. Y'all are not being serious right now. This is Jeremiah 23. We already know he's going to be born as a man. We got that from Isaiah 9. This is Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6. Read that, please.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth.
Is that, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, meaning this king you're reading about is going to come from David's family tree. This is a messianic prophecy referring to Jesus or Yahawashi. Right? But watch what it says about him. Verse 6.
In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safe. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness.
The Lord our righteousness. If you look up that word translated Lord in the Strong and Dolphin Concordance, it gives you the tetragrammaton. Those four letters that make up God's name. Yod-Heh-Wah-Heh, which some people pronounce Yahweh, some people pronounce Yahweh, some people say Jehovah, some people say Yahuwah, but the point is, it's telling you that somebody who's going to be born from the lineage of David is going to get the very name of the eternal creator. Who fits that description? I'm showing y'all all of this because it's telling you somebody's going to be born. The prophets knew that their Most High was going to be born one day as a man. Y'all just don't know because y'all listen to these bootleg, watered-down, wannabe Israelites who don't understand what our Hebrew forefathers really believed. They're telling you this. This ain't Brother Josh. They're saying this. Isaiah was a prophet. If he say that there's going to be a child born that's going to have all the attributes and titles of their God, I got to roll with that. So all we waiting to find out now is the process. But let's keep going. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Let me show y'all something else. You can't get around this stuff. Huh. Y'all show me anybody in the Bible, any individual man in the Bible who was named Yahweh, who was named Jehovah, a man now. We ain't talking the Most High. Y'all show me a man who was born. I ain't talking about an angel where his name was put in him. No, we talking about a man that would be born. If he's coming from the lineage of David, he got to be born. Y'all show me anybody that walking around with the actual name, like that's my name. Ain't it about the priest wearing the name of the Most High on their chest and the breastplate. It's in his name. It's like my name, Brother Joshua, that's Kevin J. His name is going to be called Yahweh. Why is it that all of the prophets are setting us up for their Most High coming in the flesh one day as a man, but you can see that's the Most High. I saw it. Jeremiah sees it. Y'all not prophets. I'm supposed to believe y'all over the prophets? Stop the game. And the apostles? You've been taught wrong. Let it go. Just own it. Admit it. You're done. I wasn't even going to talk about this. I wasn't concerned with this. So I've been interested in the Apocrypha these last couple of weeks. That's not been Kevin J.
Yes, sir.
Everybody know that. But y'all put my name out there. We want to know. Even my own people. I ain't never mad at my own people for you don't want me to expound on something. But I'm saying, I'm getting bombarded from every side. Even Captain hit me up this morning asking me a question about it. Shout out to Captain Kazar, y'all, of ISUPK, by the way. And ain't nothing wrong with him asking me about it. I'm just saying, everybody wants to know what the hell we think about this. So I'm telling you. And you can't refute it. You can't refute any of these verses that I went to. They all mean exactly what I say they mean. Our Hebrew forefathers knew that the Most High. They try to play games. No, Jesus was a man, yes, when he was born. So what about all these prophecies about this? Even if you don't believe these prophecies are talking about the Most High, it's still setting us up for somebody who got all the Most High stuff. You feel me? When has that ever been done in Israel? Even his immortality. He even told you he was going to have his immortality. That's what everlasting means. It means eternal, meaning you can't die. So y'all know that's something about the Most High. Let's not play any games anymore. I'm sick of people playing games. But we're going to Hebrews chapter 2. Let me get that with you. And we're going to read verses 6 to 9. Just sit down and you will see this. Trust me. You will see it. It's not hard to see if you really give it a chance to be seen. The problem is y'all act like a bunch of horny dogs chasing a female dog in heat. You can't sit still. You know what I'm saying? Everybody just want to jump on her. I remember when I was a kid, Big Baby know this, we had this dog named Sheba. She was a black Labrador. And she got in heat one day. Right? Now, y'all know, if you ever dealt with dogs before, y'all know that sometimes even when the dog is in heat, if another dog tried to get her, she'll get away. I don't want you on me. And I remember one night, one late night, I came out on the front porch just to feed my dog. And it was like 10 other dogs out there. You know what I'm saying? And one of them had my dog. They all scattered, you know, when we came out. You know, they started running. You know what I'm saying? But that's how a lot of y'all on the clubhouse act. Somebody get to talk about something? You know what I'm saying? Y'all act like dogs chasing another dog in heat. Can't calm down. just own you. Calm down. We ain't going anywhere. Let me get in here and teach them. No, open up your own room. Y'all already do that anyway. But that's why we never learn anything from each other. Right? But this is Hebrews chapter 2, 6 to 9. Come in the room. Ain't been in the room 2 minutes. Got a question. Hebrews 2, 6 to 9. And a lot of them know how we do this too, Cam and Jay. They know we got Q&A every Sabbath after class. I just say, hold your question. A lot of them already know that and still want to act like they don't know. And if it's a question that you think that, you know, you might forget it, either write it down or send it to me or one of my mods in my back chat. And then when Q&A start, one of my mods is like, yo, such and such asked this question during the class. I'm like, who? They want to ask questions right while you're teaching. Who does that? Hebrews chapter 2, 6 to 9. I feel sorry for y'all children. Y'all been my minister society. I feel sorry for your mama. I would have told them I feel sorry for your children. I feel sorry for your children. That's what I would have said. Well, not the old dog, though, because y'all know what he did after that dude said that. I would have said that to him.
Yeah.
In Hebrews chapter 2, 6 to 9. Go ahead and read. We're reading about Jesus. We're reading about Jesus. Go ahead and read.
Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man, that thou art mindful of him, but of man, that thou art visiting him?
So he's quoting the book of Psalms. The wife said, somebody testified in a certain place, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Continue, you still quoting?
7. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of the
dead.
Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet.
And in case y'all are wondering, he's quoting from 8 and verse 5, by the way. He says, thou hast put all things in subjection under him, I mean under his feet, for he is put, for in that he put all in subjection under him. Continue. He left.
For in that he put all subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him.
Talking about man. And what the author of Hebrews is trying to tell you is that there's more to this verse, you know, Psalms 8 and 5, than just man being lower than the angels, like mankind in general, and having things put under him. Watch what he tells you in verse 9. Go ahead and read.
But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man.
Now look what it says. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angel for the suffering of death, is telling you why he did this, so that he could die. It's telling you that. And I'm going to tell you why it said that. it says, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. It said taste death for every man. I'm just trying to figure out how that just means Israel, Kevin.
Right.
I just wanted to put that out there while, you know, you got some salvation just for Israel. It said taste death for every man. That means anybody who falls under the category of mankind. But that's another point.
Yeah,
you know, hitting that on the way to it, right? But let me show you how to read the other translations, because if you see that when it says a little lower than the angels, there's a Greek word in there that is referring to a short period of time. And I'm going to show you that when you read these in the other translations. So we're going to read Hebrews, and you're going to see where I'm going with this, by the way, because there's a point. Y'all know there's always a method to the madness. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 9, but we're going to read it first in the NIV, or New International Version. Look what it says right here. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while. Wait a minute, Kevin J. It said for a little while. This implies that this being lower than the angels' state was not permanent.
That's right.
And we're going to see why he said that. Right? Now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. So this is saying he temporarily was made lower than the angels, which lets me know that he was higher than them. And we're going to prove that. And we're going to prove that. This is the New Living Translation, Hebrews 2 and 9. What we do see is Jesus, who for a little while was given a position a little lower than the angels for a little while. And because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. Do y'all see that? Now we're going to read this in the ERV. So y'all can see that this was temporary. It might say a little while. Right? Look what it says right here. Hebrews 2 and 9. For a short time, Jesus was made lower than the angels. But now we see him wearing a crown of glory and honor because he suffered and died. Because of God's grace, Jesus died for everyone. And that little while is the 33 and some change that he lived on earth. But what was he before that? We already know from reading John. But let's go in the same book, Hebrews chapter 1, because this was a continuing thought that the author of Hebrews was saying about Jesus. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 1, and we're going to read 1 to 14. Let me show y'all something. You can't play games with me about this. This is the Most High you're reading about. All this stuff, all of the prophets knew that the Most High was going to be born one day as a man and die for the sins of the world. They all knew it. If you were reading your Old Testament like you should be, you would see it too. Isaiah gave you everything but the death. All we went to give you was the death. He gave you the name, the title of the Most High, all that stuff. But this is Hebrews chapter 1, 1 to 14. Go ahead and read.
This Hebrews 1 and 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets.
Is that God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets? That's how he spoke to the fathers by the prophets. Go ahead.
Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world.
By whom also he made the world. That would be a better example of the Solomon example, but you can't even use that one because the son was also called Yahweh or Yahuwah.
Mm-hmm.
Or Yahweh. Or what's the other one? Jehovah. Right? But that's not even the point. Right? It said, by whom also he made the world. So we know that the Father made the world through Jesus. He just simply told Jesus to do it, and Jesus did it. Right? But he made Jesus do it as God. He did it as God. That's what people don't you want to focus on. Right? And that made Jesus the Most High. The Most High is whoever created the world, the heaven and the earth. Whoever did that, that is the Most High. If you agree that Jesus did that, that's the Most High. If you don't, you're dumb or you're blind. That's the only thing I got for you. Either he did it and he's the Most High, or he didn't and he's not the Most High. But you can't have he created everything, but he's not the Most High. No, we ain't playing them games. If he did it, he's the Most High. If he didn't, he's not the Most High. If you come on this stage and say he didn't do it, then okay, what can I say to you? Other than you're ignoring scripture. But if your doctrine is he didn't create anything, then that makes a lot of sense for me why you say he's not the Most High. But don't get on this stage and say he created all things, and then all throughout the Old Testament it say the Most High created everything, but Jesus ain't the Most High. But go ahead and read.
3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, for he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, meaning Jesus is a replica, if you will, or has the same characteristics of the Father. That's what this is saying. But this is not even my point. I'm just showing you that the author of Hebrews is really glorifying Jesus. And he's going to tell you in this chapter, not once, not twice, not three times, but four times, he's going to tell you that Jesus was that God of the Old Testament. I'm going to let y'all see. He's going to tell you that, not Brother Josh. Right? But continue reading.
So much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they.
Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. That's why we read in chapter 2 first, where it said he was made lower than the angels for a little while. But that's when he came as a man. This is telling you what he was to them before that. And after that, once he resurrected and ascended back to heaven. But continue.
5, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be unto him a father, and he shall be to me a son.
And he's quoting Psalm 2 and 7. And this is a rhetorical question. The answer is none of the angels. He never said this to them. He never said to any of the angels, you are my son, this day have I begotten you. Or, I will be to you a father, and you shall be my son. The author of Hebrews is letting you know that Jesus has a higher status than the angels. But keep reading.
6, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten unto the world, he said, and let all the angels of God worship him.
And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, this is when he was born as a man. He says, and let all the angels of God worship him. So even when he was as a man in this world, the Most High was saying he had more rank than the angels.
Come on,
somebody. Even when he was a man, let all the angels of God worship him. How did he get that amazing status? He's going to tell you. Go ahead and read.
7, and of the angels he said, who maketh this angel spirit and bendeth the flame of fire?
Now this is what it says. And of the angels he says, it's telling you what God says about the angels. This is what he says. Who maketh his angel spirit and his ministers a flame of fire? That's what he said about his angels. Y'all are ministering spirits and flame of fire. Now, verse 8 is going to tell you what God, the Father, has to say about the Son. We see what he said about the angel. This is what he has to say about the Son. This is very important. The author of Hebrews is telling you, this is what the Father has to say about the Son. Read slow. Read that.
Hebrews 1, Hebrews 1:8. But unto the Son he said.
But unto the Son he saith. This is what the Father has to say about the Son. Read.
Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. It is the scepter of thy kingdom.
It's telling you right here that the Father is calling the Son God. He's saying to the Son, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Hold your spot right there, Kevin J. Put a bookmark right there. Go to Psalm 45. This is where he got this from. Now watch this now. Now watch how we chop him up, big brother. Zadok, if you still on stage. I think he left, but watch this. Now watch how you chop him up. This is Psalm 45. This is where they got this from. This is, and this is to the chief musician upon Shoshananim for the sons of Korah, Mashil, a song of love. Right? This is what these musicians in their song that you just read about said. And watch this. This Psalm 45, 6 and 7. Read that.
Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter.
Mm-hmm.
Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above all fellows.
If you ask anybody on Corey Brewer's side, is the God in Psalm 45, 6, and 7 the Most High God? I bet they say, yeah. Anybody on stage doubt that?
I don't doubt this at all.
Anybody? Antoine, Dre, Nautica, Ariel? Anybody doubt that if I get anybody from the God First Gang on this stage and ask them, is this the Most High God in Psalm 45, 6, and 7, that they will say no? Do anybody think they'll say no?
Yeah, they're
going to
say no.
They ain't going to say no. You think that, Triller? You think they're going to read this and read about the God of Israel and be like, it ain't the Most High God?
Yeah.
And why would they do that?
I don't think they're talking about I think they're talking about something else. I think they're going to say, they probably would say the same thing that I would say, that they're talking about the best man in the kingdom to sit on the throne of the God of Israel.
It says, thy throne, O God. The title of this psalm is To the Chief Musician upon Shoshanim. It says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Who has an eternal throne? No man got no eternal throne. So who has an eternal throne, Triller?
The eternal throne belongs to God the Father that's in heaven. The king of Israel don't sit on the throne as the Son of God.
Right, but whoever this is, though, it says in Psalm 45 that the Son, that the Father said that's the Son, that's Jesus. That's what that's what Hebrews 1 say, y'all? Am I making this up, or does Hebrews 1 say that?
Yes, Hebrews 1 and 8.
It says that. So if you ask anybody over there on their side, is this psalm that's talking about the God of Israel giving praise to the Most High, if they're honest, I should have probably put that in the first trailer, if they're honest, they're going to say yes, that's talking about the Most High. So why is it when I get to the New Testament, the author of Hebrews says, that's talking about the Son. It says, to the Son he saith. This is the Father talking to the Son. What you're reading about in Psalm 45 is a prophecy about a conversation that went on between the Father and the Son. That's the Most High. The author of Hebrews is saying that God that you're reading about in Psalm 45 is Jesus. But that's the Most High. Y'all know that's the Most High. Let's not play games. Y'all know all the Psalms dedicated to God by the Hebrew Israelites. It's about the Most High. Let's not act stupid now. Now that I don't brought this out. Now people want like playing devil's advocate. Now we want to say, oh, that's about something else. Come on. That's a psalm praising God. And it's saying that God would be anointed. When was God ever anointed, y'all? Did y'all catch that? Well, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 1. You should already be there. Now, it tells you in verse 8, this is all the stuff that the Father is saying to the Son. He wasn't done talking in verse 8, Kevin. Let's see what else he said. You already read verse 9 as well, right, Kevin J. in Hebrews chapter 1?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see what else the Father is still saying to the Son. Go ahead and read verse 10.
And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hand.
Wait a minute. This is God still talking to the Son. It's going to let you know when he stops talking to him. This is all the stuff that the Father is saying to the Son. He says, and you, Lord, in the beginning, have laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hand. Hold your spot down, Kevin J. Let's go to Psalms 102. This is all the stuff that the author of Hebrews is saying that the Father is saying about the Son and to the Son. Do everybody see that's what that is saying? Everybody see that? That's what they say. I'm not making that up. That's what the art. Don't get mad at me. They didn't throw out the book of Hebrews now. They done with the book of Hebrews now.
Put the one in the chat if you're following along. Put the one in the chat if you're following along.
This is 102 and verse 25. The art of Hebrews is getting all of the Most High scriptures and applying them to the Son. That's what you're reading. All of these are talking about the Most High in the Old Testament, and the Father is applying them to the Son. That's why I said, to the Son, he saith. This is all the stuff. This is Psalms 102 and verse 25. Read that, please.
Of old hast thou made the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hand.
So, what the Father is saying that about the Son. It said, to the Son he saith. God's almost God is forever and ever. Therefore, God, so first he calls him God. Then he says, of old, or from the beginning, you laid the foundation of the earth. Go back to Hebrews chapter 1. Read verse 11. It's all the stuff that the Father is saying to the Son. That's crazy. All this stuff we're reading about is coming on God, though. Is it not? It's all this stuff. Give me a one in the chat. If all of these verses that the author of Hebrews is applying to the Son is talking about the Most High in the Old Testament. That's all I need y'all to do. Keep it real. It's all these verses that the Son, that the author of Hebrews is applying to the Son, talking about the Most High in the Old Testament. That's all I want to know. We're walking them down. I know y'all see this. He's applying all of this to the Son. He's telling you, this is what the Father says to the Son. And every verse he's quoting is applying to the Most High in the Old Testament. So play with me, y'all. Y'all asked for this. Now you're getting it. Don't make fun of us. We know what we're talking about. We're walking all the way down, right? Read verse 11 on, Kevin J.
11. They shall perish, but thou remain.
Mm-hmm.
They all shall wax old, but as doth the garment.
Read verse 12.
And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail.
This is all the stuff the Father said to the Son, y'all. Let's see where they got that from. Isaiah 34. It's Isaiah 34. Hold up. This ain't the one. Hold up. This ain't the one I'm looking for. Give me 1 second. See, I put something wrong. Wrote something wrong in my notes. Hold on. I got you. Let me pull this up right quick. I got my little backup plan whenever I make a mistake and do something like this. Here we go. Hebrews 1. What verse is that? Verse 11. Now watch this. Let's see where they got that from. And some of y'all Bibles might even have the reference in it telling you. Right? And this will be, hold up. There we go.
here it is, right here. This is on Isaiah. And they're on verse, Isaiah 51. Let me give you that one right now. And verse 6.
Isaiah 51 and verse 6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon your earth beneath you. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. They that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished.
Now this is a comparison being made between the other people compared to the Most High. But the author of Hebrews is doing what? He's applying that to Jesus. Is that not what he's doing, Sam and Jay? That's exactly what he's doing. He's applying this to Jesus. They shall perish, but thou remainest. That's why he said, my salvation shall be forever, because he's forever. He's letting you see right here that this is talking about Jesus. That's what it says. All of this stuff is all pertaining to the Most High, though. Somebody tell me, why is the author of Hebrews applying all of these Most High verses to Jesus? Anybody want to tell me that? Anybody? Let's go to Isaiah 50 and 9. Let's see where he also loses the chain for this. Isaiah 50 and 9. Read that.
They were saying that because they believed that the Most High would come in the form of a human.
Exactly. That's why the author of Hebrews said that. Give me Isaiah and read verse 9.
This is Isaiah chapter 50, verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? No. They all shall wax old as the garment, and the moth shall eat them up.
And the moth, they shall wax old as a garment. Talking about who? Mankind. But all of these verses is comparing God, the Most High, to man. Do y'all see this? The author of Hebrews is saying the Father said all this to the Son. Now go back to Hebrews chapter 1, and now it's going to let you know that he's done talking to the Son. So y'all can just see that. I'm not making this up. I'm not making him talk to the Son when I want him to. It's Hebrews chapter 1, and read verse 13.
But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool?
Now he's getting back on the angels. He said, but to which of the angels, said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Right? He's letting you see all this stuff that you read that the Father was saying, he was saying it to the Son. Now he's jumping back to when did he ever say anything like this to the angels? Why is the author of Hebrews taking all of these Most High God verses and applying it to the Son? Why is he doing that? Why is he doing that? Because Jesus was the Most High of the Old Testament. And they can't handle that. And they cannot handle that. But let me give you another verse for that that's related to the other one that we saw. Because he also drew on another one. I skipped over this. Let's go to Psalms 102. This is the one I was really looking for. He gave me this other one. This is Psalms 102. This is what he's really quoting. Psalms 102. That's the one I was looking for. The other ones are just like kind of biting off of this one. This is the one he directly quoted from. I knew I had it. I said, wait a minute. This is Psalms 102. Okay. 25 to 27. Read what it says.
Oh, hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hand.
Ask anybody
on the Godfather Gang side who said that Corey Brewer won, is this psalm giving praise to the Most High God of Israel? They're going to say, yeah. Continue. Let's see what it says. Go ahead.
They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them that shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture shall thou change them, and they shall be changed.
Wait a minute. This is what the author of Hebrews said that the Father said to the Son. And then we read, Calvin J?
Yep.
But this is talking about the Most High. See, Hebrews chapter 1, that's a killer thriller. I didn't even mean to make that rhyme like that, by the way. They just came out like that. But this Hebrews chapter 1 is a killer. It's telling you plainly. The author of Hebrews is saying, he's giving all these verses. He says, this is all the stuff that the Father said to and about the Son. Continue reading.
27. But thou art the same, and thy ears have no end.
Now go back to Hebrews chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
But they laughed at us, though, Kevin James. We're like, man, you know, Jesus is the Most High. The author of Hebrews is making him the Most High. The author of Hebrews are going into verses in the Old Testament that is talking about the Most High and applying them to Jesus. And he's telling you that the Father applied it to him. You cannot get around this stuff. Y'all asked me to teach on it. Now I'm teaching on it. Now don't try to act like you don't see it, because I know you do. Don't try to. We're back in Hebrews chapter 1, right?
Yep.
Read 12 to 14. I want to get that last little piece again.
And as a vessel shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same. And thy ears shall not fail.
It says the Father said all this to the Son. Didn't it say that, Kevin J?
Yes, sir, it is.
Now read the next verse. That's going to let you know we're not talking about what the Father got to say to the Son anymore. It's going to switch it up. Go ahead and read.
13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool?
So after telling you everything that the Father said to the Son, now he says, which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? He don't already call the Son God. He don't already gave him all these scriptures that apply to the Most High in the Old Testament. I think we've proven that Jesus is the Most High God. Don't you think so, Kevin Day?
Yes, sir.
I think we've proven that. That's what the New Testament is saying. If you don't like this, you don't believe the New Testament. Just say you don't believe the New Testament. But don't try to make it seem like it's something we're pulling out of our behinds. Now read the last part.
For them who shall be heirs of salvation.
So this is the question he's asking about the angels. He said, are they not all ministering spirits, meaning serving spirits, sent forth to minister or to serve for them who shall be heirs of salvation? That's what the angels are. They are our servants because we are the heirs of salvation. That means we are in line to receive salvation, and that's talking about eternal life. So now that we know established beyond a shadow of a doubt that both the Old and the New Testament makes Jesus the Most High God, let's see if he died on the cross. Now let's go to Zechariah. Zechariah 12. That's what it says. A lot of y'all ain't ready for this because y'all ain't never studied this. A lot of y'all don't understand Jesus' like background. That's the one where Hebrews, they don't even get that deep. They can't even get over the virgin birth. So I know if you can't even get over the virgin birth, you ain't ready for Jesus being the Most High. Is that right? Go ahead.
This for me, the way you're going back and forth, I can appreciate this because me and other brothers talk about this too, literally before the Christ. The way you're fluently going back and forth between the New Testament and the Old, to me, that means a lot.
That's the way you got to do it. That's the way you got to do it. Y'all know how I do it. Everybody been asking me. The opposite asked me. The supporter been asking me, John, can you do a lesson on this? I thought, I'll do it. I really didn't think it was that big a deal, to tell the truth, in our little circle. I ain't seen them this crunk since they were always arguing about, can anybody get salvation other than Israel? But now y'all see how we bring it, and you can't refute it. It cannot be refuted. I'm showing y'all this stuff. Now, this is Zechariah 12, 9 and 10. Read, please.
Verse 9. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem.
And this is in the future. He says, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. This is the Most High God talking. Do everybody on the stage agree with that? That this is the Most High God talking. Do everybody on the stage agree with that? Do everybody in the chat room agree with that? Give me a two. If you're in the chat and you agree that this is the Most High talking in Zechariah 12 and verse 9. Key reading.
11. Oh, sorry, 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have
perished. Stop, whoa. Slow down, Kevin J. This ain't your fault, because I ain't tell you. I'm just letting you know. This is the Most High talking, and he just said they're going to do what? Read that again. They shall look. Start from that part. Read that again.
And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced.
Read that again.
They shall look upon me, whom they have pierced.
Okay, keep reading.
They shall mourn for him, as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn.
Did it say they shall look upon him whom they pierced? Did it say that? Or did it say me? Who's talking?
That's the Most High.
The Most High said that look upon me whom they pierced. Whoever pierced the Father, y'all? Anybody ever pierced the Father? Anybody? Can somebody show me Old or New Testament where anybody ever pierced the Father?
It ain't built. Never.
He said, they shall look upon me whom they fear. And let me show you that when Jesus was getting crucified, it tells you that was the fulfillment of what you just read right here. Which would mean that has to be him who was the Most High. Let's go to John chapter 19. We got one more after that. This is God talking. He didn't say they shall look upon him. He said me. Anybody ever pierced the Father? So that's the Most High God talking. So we read about a Most High God that's prophesying that they're going to look upon him who they pierced. He said, me. If he would have said him, you would have had a point. But he said, me. He's claiming ownership of that. Don't play games. Y'all know y'all see it. Watch this. This is John 19, 32 to 37. Go ahead and read. This is when Jesus was on the cross. Go ahead and read.
Then came the soldiers and break the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him.
Those were the other two thieves that were crucified on the left and right hand side of Jesus. And what they do when you don't be dead from the crucifixion, they will break your legs and it'll make you slump on the cross, and it does something to your lungs or something. I forget the exact procedure, but it makes you die instantly. If you're not already dead, go ahead and read.
33. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his leg.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forward came there out blood and water.
He did what to his side?
Pierced his
side. He did what?
Pierced.
Right? He said, and they shall look upon me, whom they pierced. Continue.
And he and he that suffered it bear record. And his weapon is true, and he knoweth that he knoweth that he said truth, that ye might believe.
Mm-hmm. Now, why was all this done? Keep reading.
For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken.
Then from Exodus 12 and 46, because you weren't allowed to break any bone of the Passover lamb, but what else was fulfilled? Go ahead.
37. And again, another scripture saying, they shall look on him whom they pierced.
And it's another scripture say that. It says him right here, because it may, you know, it's referring to Jesus. But the original prophecy says me. But it's telling you right here in John that Jesus was the fulfillment of that. How could he be the fulfillment of something that the Most High said would happen to him?
Mm.
Anybody in the chat room want to take a crack at that one? How can the Most High even say he could be pierced? I thought the Most High was an immortal being. How can he be pierced? And he said, they're going to look upon me. This letting you know this is going to happen at a time in history where people can see the Most High and realize that they pierced him. Now, y'all tell me any time in history, past or future, where somebody can see the Almighty Father and look upon him and say, yeah, we pierce you.
Mm.
You can't see that. You can't read that. But he said, they're going to look upon me, whom they pierced. That's what he said. And John 19 tells you Jesus was the fulfillment of that. That was the Most High. So did the Most High die on the cross? Yes. But why y'all trying to let him lead the Most High die? Yep, right there on the cross. That's what your book say. I walked y'all all the way from the birth to the death, from old and new, of the Son. Let's go to one last spot. Revelation 1 and 7. Just remember, y'all asked for this. I wasn't even thinking about this. I wasn't thinking about no, you know, if Jesus the Most High. I didn't even know that Corey and Zadok had a debate coming up, let alone about this, because ain't nobody even been talking about this. It's Revelation 1 and 7. If you don't agree with this class, you don't believe the Bible. Period. Don't come in here in your feelings. I don't care how you feel. Check your emotions at the door. Don't come here all in your feelings. Well, I think, I don't care what you think. What did Zechariah mean when he had the Most High say, they're going to look upon me whom they pierced? And then to top it off, John applies this as a fulfillment of Jesus dying on the cross.
That's tough,
right? That's when that was fulfilled. So we got an Old Testament Most High, right, who's going to be born as a son, be called the eternal creator, right, wonderful counselor, going to be a king, and even claims that people who pierce him don't look at him. That ain't Jesus. But all of that. And then you go to Hebrews chapter 1, and all of these verses praising the Most High, the author of Hebrews says the Father was saying all of that to Jesus. Come on, y'all. Y'all, go ahead and get in your feelings and deny it. Let your heart be hardened, just like your Hebrew Israelite ancestors. Your heart always hardened. But don't feel bad, though. Y'all are the first people in history among the Israelites to stumble at Jesus. It was prophesied that he won't be a stumbling block. So if you're stumbling at this, if you can't get it, all you're doing is fulfilling prophecy. That means you're not one of the ones that's going to make it. Because the ones that stumble at the stumbling stone, those are the ones going to hell. So if you're stumbling at anything about Jesus, like in denial, even though you see it, you're going to hell. I'm not talking about people who don't understand or can't see it. I'm talking about the ones that see it. You are part of prophecy. And Brother Josh ain't got anything to say to somebody who ain't going to be nothing but fuel for the lake of fire. This is Revelation 1 and 7. Read that one verse. We see it's about that pierce. Read that.
Behold, he cometh with the cloud, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kings of the earth shall wail because of him.
Behold, it's about Jesus. Behold, He cometh up with a cloud, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And still refer to him as the guy that was pierced. Because it was prophesied that the God of Israel would be pierced. He said, they shall look upon me, whom they pierced. How was Jesus the fulfillment of something that the Most High said would happen to him? That? Because Jesus is the Most High that died on the cross. That pierced right there in Zechariah 12 is the fulfillment of God saying, I'm going to die. That's what he's saying. When did they pierce him? After he died on the cross. That's the Most High telling you. Y'all find it so hard to believe that the Most High was going to be born, but can't accept that he's going to die. If he was born, he could die. That's what the prophet's telling you. He's going to be born. So he died, but he resurrected, got eternal life, back to business. So to answer the question of this title, did the Most High die on the cross? Yes, he did. We'll be back after these brief announcements. All right, y'all. Shout out to all 102 of y'all that's still in the room. First of all, we'd like to thank all of you coming out. We're going to get into Q&A after these announcements. Open discussion, right? We'd like to thank all of you for coming out. As many of you know, we have Sabbath class, a weekly study every week, every Saturday. We open the clubhouse room and go on Blog Talk Radio during standard time. It's our usual time. Every week, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I try to play some good music for y'all for about 30 minutes, and then class starts around 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If anybody is interested in ordering a past class, you can do so. All this information I'm about to give you is under my bio. Just click on my profile. All this information scrolls down. You get all the links. But if you're interested in ordering a past class, you can do so by going to our online website. The website address is absolutebibletruth.com/store. Again, that's absolutebibletruth.com/store. Also, if anybody is interested in making a donation, you just want to show some support, feel blessed by what you're hearing, you can do so one of two ways. This information is also under my bio, the link and all the other stuff. If you just feel blessed by what you hear and want to show some support, you can do so one of two ways. The first way is through PayPal using our email address, which is absolutebibletruthforever@yahoo.com. That's absolutebibletruth4eva@yahoo.com. You don't type the word for, you actually type the numerical digit for. absolutebibletruthforever@yahoo.com. And also, of course, the other way you can make a donation is through Cash App using the Cash App tag, which is ABTM, lowercase s. Again, that's ABTM, lowercase s. And in case anybody is wondering, that stands for Absolute Bible Truth Ministries. At this time, we will bring on Ariel, a.k.a. the Prince of Positivity. He will give you a brief summary of what we studied today, as well as any announcements that he may have. Go ahead, Ariel.
Shalom, shalom. Can you hear me?
You are loud and clear.
Awesome. All praise to the Most High. Well, first and foremost, I want to give all glory, all praise, and all honor to the Most High for allowing us to see another Shabbat day. I want to give a special shout-out to our big brother, Jesus Christ, for dying on the cross for our sins and sacrificing his life when he didn't have to, for our sake and not his own. So I'm going to get into the summary, then I'm going to get into the announcement. So today, the title of the class is, Did the Most High Die on the Cross? And we learned beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Most High, who the Old Testament considers the Most High, died on the cross. And the game set and match scripture was Zechariah, which we just read, and how the Most High said they will pierce me. We also went to Isaiah 9, where they talked about the mighty God, right? The mighty God is synonymous with the Most High, because there is no mightier God than the Most High. So if it is the mighty God, that is the Most High. And what people get caught up on, what they see as a stumbling block, is they fall for the mockery, they fall for the scriptural manipulation, they fall for the bait and switch tactics of unrighteous people unrighteously dividing the word of the Most High. So when they get into mockery, they say, how is the Most High going to die on the cross? The Most High can't die. That's foolishness. They just try to make fun of you. They try to mock you and shame you into believing what they believe, right? They also use bait and switch. They try to say, here is talking about the Most High, right? That's the bait. And then they switch it up. But, oh, no, it's not talking about the Most High. It's talking about this instance, right? They try to switch it after they first get the context and we show them, is this the Most High? In the first couple verses, and then they try to switch it up when it gets down to the other verses to try to say that that's not the Most High anymore, right? So be aware of the scriptural manipulation tactics that people try to use in order to confuse you, in order to deny the truth. We went to multiple verses in the book of Hebrews and lined it up with those Old Testament verses in the book of Psalms to give you guys as much clarity and understanding as possible without twisting the scriptures, without adding our own opinions, without adding our own thoughts. So did the Most High die on a cross? Yes, because the Most High came and took on flesh for us. The Most High is all-knowing and all-powerful, and he can take on flesh and come as humans to be the righteous example that we need. It's not that hard to understand, but most people want to limit the Most High because of the doctrine that they've been taught, because if their mind can't comprehend the power of the Most High. Remember, it said his ways are not our ways. So that's the summary. I'll be here all night breaking this down if I continue to go. I'm excited to be back. I'm excited to read these scriptures. I'm excited to learn, and I'm just in a good space right now. But let's get into some of the announcements. So we have prayer session every Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This week we have prayer session because I was on vacation, came back later than expected. So next week, we're going to start back up with the prayer session, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we have Bible study, we get a motivational word of the week, and then we open up the stage for prayer requests and testimonies right here on Clubhouse and Absolute Bible Truth Room. Also, I go live on my Facebook and Instagram. You can find that information on my bio, on my profile on Clubhouse. Click the link at the bottom of my bio to find my Instagram page and my Facebook page. It's all right here if you would like to be a part of the live experience for the prayer session. And we also have men's ministry coming up the first Sunday in August, so be ready for that. For the brothers, that's going to be a Sunday, 7 o'clock or 9 o'clock, but men's ministry once a month, every first Sunday. And we're still in the works of getting the women's ministry on the Father. So for the women, I'll be more focused and more dedicated to actually putting this thing together this last half of the year. So if you are a woman of ABC and you would like to be a part of the women's ministry, if you would like to help orchestrate the women's ministry, then we are looking for some female volunteers to help us build our women's ministry. And as we go on, as the church continues to build, we're going to have our teen ministry, we're going to have our marriage ministry, we're going to have our, you know, singles ministry, all that good stuff as we continue to build this church. So we thank you guys for joining us tonight. We're about to get into the question and answers, but before we get into the question and answers, there's 45 shares in the room and it's 103 people. So we ask that you guys hit that share button, those three dots in the center of your phone. It has a 45 next to it. Hit those three dots and share the room. Tell people to come in for Q&A, to come in for Q&A. But right now, let me just shout out to the people who already shared the room. Jay Weezy, Q&A time. The Smoke, thank you for sharing the room. Moshe the Hebrew, he put the emoji clock sign saying it's Q&A. See, y'all ready. Y'all know the deal. I appreciate y'all. Mendez Curry, thank you for sharing it. Elijah Ramsey, thank you. Casting Down, Floor, Empress Lisa, Casting Down again. Drake Geeks, James from the Boot two times. Mama Steph, Nicole Levels, Casting Down with the third time. Moshe the Hebrew again. Andre J. Weezy, Pat, Nicole Levels two times. Kev C., Trey, Casting Down four times. Good Lord. Lisa, 3 times in a row. Shout out to Lisa Perkins, big sis. Trey the Gator again. B Trey, Charles Goodlow, Casting Down 5 times. I think that might be a record, though. I never seen anybody share it more than that. Judith, you got Michaela Yahawadai, Yahawadai Israel, Iz Maccabee, and Nautica. Shout out to Sister Nautica. She shared the room first. So that was awesome. Shout out to Sis. And that's all for the shout outs. Remember, share the room, y'all, so people can send the Q&A. And with that being said, for the Josh's idea. Oh, yeah, raise your hand and come up to the stage.
Appreciate that, Ariel, both the announcements and that beautiful summary. Right now we're in the Q&A, so if you have a question, raise your hand, come to the stage. Right now I see y'all taking care of getting the hands up, because they just popping up so fast on me. You know what I'm saying? So y'all make sure y'all get them up. I see them. I saw them pop up first on my end, too. I'm constantly refreshing to see. You know, so that it can rearrange the room on the stage so I can know what everything look like. Okay, we're going to go with Norman first. Go ahead, Norman.
Hey, before we get started, I want to ask something about this verse. I'm looking at Zechariah 12. I don't know, a bunch of translations and something weird is going on here. It says, "And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me, whom they have pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one who grieves for a firstborn." So is the focus the me or the him? Is the me and the him the same person?
Well,
I mean, it looked like the me got pierced, but if the me got pierced, why are we mourning for him? Who's the him?
Well, if you go back and you look at...
That's the other one. That's the other one.
The other who?
The other what? Yeah, that's a very interesting passage, Trilla. I'm going to look at that. Oh, my goodness. I can use that, right? I do see... Look, my entire understanding, as you guys may know, I do believe in 2 sons, the only begotten son and the beloved son. So I don't want to...
I want to make sure I heard you right. The only begotten son and the beloved son?
Don't negate it. That's a special case.
That is a special case. I ain't never heard of that before.
You asked me to respond, so that's my brief response, Trilla. But I don't plan to unpack my entire understanding.
All right, Norman available.
Let's go to Norman. Let's see what Norman has to say. Then I'll come back to you, Trilla, and all that.
Guys, thank you for allowing me to come up. I've been